Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hello and welcome into the Arrowhead Pride Podcast, we like to call From the Podium, where you hear directly from your Kansas City Chiefs. I'm host and audio producer of the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, Steven Serta. Chiefs were back on the practice field on Thursday, and we heard from offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo, as well as special teams coordinator Dave Tobe and linebacker Nick Bolt. We'll kick things off today in that order, starting with offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, followed by defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo. Then we'll take a quick timeout. When we get back, you'll hear from special teams coordinator Dave Tobe, followed by linebacker Nick Bolton. Here's Eric Bieniemy.
Thought our guys had a sense of purpose. Their focus was a little different than what it was in the past few weeks. More importantly, I thought it was huge having an opportunity to be a part of history and watching Coach Reed accomplish the goal that he accomplished. And as we all know, history is a very long time. And with that said, hey, I'm all ears.
What's reasonable to expect from Josh Gordon this week and now that he's gotten the call up to 53?
Let me just say this. Josh has been working his tail off. The kid is a very, very unique athlete. He can do a lot of special things. We just want to make sure that we're bringing him along the right way. You know, we want to make sure that when he's out there, he has an opportunity to be successful at the things that he can do. And the thing that I love about him, he's a very, very smart kid. He's very intelligent. Coach Joe Blamire has done a great job with him. Pat and all those guys have surrounded him. They're supporting him, and they're doing a great job of lifting him up and helping him through this process. But the thing is we'll see exactly how it goes on game day, but we just want to take it one step at a time.
What do you think he gives the offense that you weren't particularly getting out of the current group?
Well, let me just say this, okay? We have a very, very unique group, okay? This group of receivers has taken us to the promised land over the past few years. The thing that I love about our organization is Brett Veach is always looking to upgrade the talent, you know, on the roster. He's always looking. I mean, you guys have seen some of the things that we've done throughout the course of the year since we've been here. So, you know, with Josh being out there, why not take that chance and bring him on board, especially with the culture and the good people that we have in that locker room, but not just in that locker room, in this entire building that has helped us to become the organization that we've become.
That said, what does he maybe give you guys that maybe you didn't have in that room already?
You know what? Like I said, this is a kid that has had a great deal of success. He's done some great things, you know, over the years. And the beauty of it is, hell, I had an opportunity to meet his high school head coach years ago out of Lamar High School down there in Houston, Texas. So knowing where that kid came from, knowing the talent that and the rich history that high school has in the inner city of Houston, and just knowing the history about him, you just, why not get excited about a person, a kid that can bring something, a new refresh of energy, you know, into the building.
Coach, he's never really had any issues on the football field. I mean, he's obviously got the talent. His issues have been trying to be able to stay on the football field because he's been suspended so many times. I know you don't have time to be the dad for a whole bunch of guys on this team, but have you had a chance to talk to him about those things and making sure that the culture you guys have here can help him get through a season and do what he's capable of doing on the football field?
Well, we've obviously all have had, you know, some type of conversation with Josh. But one thing, and I'll sit here and stand here, my job is to make sure that Josh maximizes the opportunities that are presented to him today. The only thing that matters is today, okay? It's not for me to comment on anything that this kid is going through, okay? Because one thing, this kid is a beautiful person. He's a beautiful soul. For whatever reason, we all have our own weights that we have to bear. So with that in mind, we're always looking for great people who happen to have a unique ability that can help us. But the thing that I want him to understand, there is no pressure for him to exceed his expectations. The only thing that we want is that he lives in the moment and maximizes this opportunity today. And you know what? We'll worry about tomorrow when tomorrow gets here.
Coach, you know how much you enjoy the competition every single week? With the offense playing as well as it's been playing, how excited are you to go against this Bills defense? It's been statistically one of the best in football so far.
You know what? This defense is very good. I mean, these guys have been playing together for a number of years. Coach Sean McDermott, who I've known for eons, it seems like. Coach Leslie Frazier, we've worked together, known him for eons as well. Knowing those two guys and knowing how hard they work and how sharp they are, you know, I'm not shocked nor surprised at the numbers that they put up offensively, but also the numbers that they put up defensively. Those guys are great defensive-minded coaches, all right? Our job is to make sure that we go out on Sunday and execute our scheme better than they do their scheme. Now, it's going to be a challenge, all right? This is a hell of a team. And the thing that I love about it is that we have an opportunity to play against a team that's striving to go to the Super Bowl. And so you always want that competition to be at a high level. And so our guys are focused. They're making sure that they're preparing with a purpose. They also have a plan of attack. And that way now, come game day, we can go out and do the things that we need to do to help us to be successful.
You mean Clyde? Go ahead.
So. You had back-to-back weeks of 100 yards on the ground for Clyde, and Darrell's been involved too. What advantages does maybe a tandem provide you that instead of just going with the one back?
I think the more the merrier, you know. The more yards you can put on the ground, this is the former running back coach talking now. The more yards you can put on the ground, the more pressure that it applies to the defense. And, you know, it's been good watching these guys do what they do. More importantly, it's been fun watching the O-line, you know, open up those seams up front. And that's the thing that I love. These guys are developing the chemistry together. On top of that, you're seeing the receivers and tight ends getting blocks downfield. And then the only thing that's doing is it's helping Clyde to grow with his confidence and watching young Darrell Williams come along as well. And so it's good that we're doing this, and we want to continue this, all right? But when it's all said and done, we also understand the importance of throwing the football. We got to make sure that we stay efficient and that we're taking care of the ball. That's the most important thing.
Derek, on first down, how massive or how impactful is it if you get 4 or 5 yards on the ground running the ball on first down versus maybe throwing it or having less of success running the ball on first down?
Well, let me just say this. I think whether you're running it or throwing it, you want to have some success on first down. Because one thing it does, it keeps you ahead of the chains. It puts pressure on the defense. And so our job is to make sure, and we'll sit here and say, every play is designed to go for a touchdown. But our job is to make sure we're putting our guys in the right situations to have success. And so we want to have that success because now we feel that we can dictate the game to the defense.
With Josh Gordon coming in, what is your message, or have you had any message really for someone like McColl who is trying to develop in the third year of his career, but also you're trying to incorporate a veteran? Is there a balance that you're trying to reach with McColl and where his role may be?
You know what? The balance has always remained the same, is when you're out there, you make the most of your opportunity. And that's what this is about. And then when you're out there, you make sure that you're accountable to the next man. What are you going to do to help him to be at his best? And when you're out there to make sure that we're doing everything under the sun to make sure that we can come away with a victory. And so it's just not for McColl. It's any player that is out on that field. We want our guys to go out there and be productive. We want our guys to go out there and be great. But more importantly, it doesn't matter who plays or who doesn't play. It's our job to make sure that we're playing for one another and that these guys understand the importance. If we do it together, great things can happen down the line.
When you got a guy like Josh who comes in, and it's mid-season, I mean, there's not really time to prepare the entire offense. Do you just focus on one role? Do you focus on the X? I mean, is it the kind of thing that Sammy did? Do you streamline the playbook for a guy like that?
Well, I say this. I think you have to, because you want to make sure that that kid is comfortable with what he's doing. Now, I will say this. Josh has a very high football IQ. The kid is very, very intelligent. The kid is very, very smart. And you think about it, he's had an opportunity to suit up on a number of teams in this league. So he's gained a lot of knowledge over the years. So, you know, understanding the person, but also the mental makeup. You know, this kid here, he's He's more than ready. It's just about having that opportunity to get out there and show what he can do. But the thing that I just want to make sure of, and like I told him, I don't want him applying pressure to himself to feel like he has to go and be perfect. He just need to go out there and play and have fun.
Last couple of weeks, other teams, obviously playing with a guy like Tom Brady and even Russell Wilson, you know, elite-type quarterbacks, how much do you think that will also assist him transitioning to Mahomes?
I think it helps. I mean, it you know, those two have clicked from day one. I think more than anything, just the way they communicate with one another, sitting together, you know, in the meeting rooms, those guys having an opportunity to sit there and just share information with one another and then having an opportunity to go out there and do it together on the field. I think all that matters. You know, that's why I said, and I'm going to say this. I don't want to sit here and make any predictions, but I will say this, okay? As a father of two, the only thing that you want is the best for this kid. And I don't want this kid feeling pressure to feel like he has to put a cape on and go do something that he hasn't done in a while. No, I want this kid to have an opportunity to enjoy this moment. So that's why I'll say this. The only thing that matters is today. Let this kid enjoy today. And you know what? Tomorrow, we'll do it all over again.
The last couple weeks have been down weeks for Tyree. Was this type of game from last week something that's going to boost his offense?
You know what, Tyreek, I'll say this. Tyreek is a kid that loves to compete. And the thing about it, whether his numbers are high or his numbers are low, Tyreek doesn't care. The only thing Tyreek cares about is winning. And if you had to ask him throughout that point in time if it was 100 yards or in losing or 100 yards receiving and winning or not 100 yards and not winning, he'd tell you he wanted to win. You know, Tyreek is he's a huge advocate for team play. Numbers don't matter to him, okay? And I know that sounds different, and I know that sounds like some coaching talk when I'm saying this to you guys. This kid is a football player, but he also understands this is the greatest team sport in all the sports that we play. And without each other, we can't do this. And so the only thing that matters is not necessarily the numbers. It's those alphabets. And you guys have heard me say this before, okay? It's about did you get in the win column or not? You know, last week we had an opportunity to get in the win column. His numbers were high, okay? There's going to be some moments where we're going to have an opportunity to get in that win column, and his numbers may not be high, but he's still going to be the same kid.
Clyde mentioned to us on Sunday that it was Travis that developed the Tom and Jerry play. I just wonder from your perspective, as a veteran who's willing to draw up plays, or at least a concept, and be used as a decoy, just what does it say about Travis's maturity level and sort of where he is as both a leader and a player who can open up things for others and even assist the coaching staff?
It's you know what? And thanks for asking that question. Trav has made tremendous growth each and every year, you know. The thing about Trav is one of our leaders. And what I loved about, and I told him this on Monday, I told Trav, I am so proud of the way you conducted yourself on the sidelines. He kept the guys energized. He was on the sidelines keeping everyone in tune, talking about all the different things that they were doing. And you're talking about a guy that didn't really have good numbers, but the numbers didn't matter to him. The only thing that he wanted was to ensure that we can come away with a victory. And he'll tell you, he didn't play his best game. But one thing I am proud of him is that he was a leader, okay? He was a leader of men. And those are the things that you'll look back upon. And I know we're used to winning around here just because of the things that we've done in the past. But sometimes without no bad luck, you wouldn't have any good luck at all, okay? So we're watching guys come into their own. You know, we're watching the young Creeds who's becoming a leader up front, you know, and that's what's fun about this unit. That's what's fun about this team is that these guys care about one another, but they also understand the importance of growing together. And these past few weeks have been a great humbling experience for us that's helped shooting us in the right direction.
Did this game help the offensive line? Did they take a step forward, particularly in the run blocking?
Oh, yeah. Hell, I think I could have ran. I told Clyde, I think I could have got at least 4 or 5 yards. Not 100, you know what I mean? It probably would have took me about 19 carries to get 5 yards. But but I will say this, yes, the O-line is doing a great job. Coach Heck does an outstanding job with him, with those guys. Coach Corey, you know, those guys are fun to watch. And it's always good when the bigs are playing good. We just need to make sure that we continue heading in the right direction.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. You guys take care. Thank you.
With me, Sid, because I need that. Listen, I don't have anything. Just looking forward to getting out there and practicing. We were fortunate yesterday. It looked like it was going to rain. The sun came out, and it looks pretty good today. So keep our fingers crossed. We'll go to work here soon. So with that, I'll open it up.
You guys had a few red zone stops, forced some field goals last week. Was there a thread on things that you did well or to force mistakes? Some of them look like they kind of made a couple of miscues on their own.
I think that happens both ways, right? But I did think our coverage was solid. You know, when the quarterback was scrambling around back there, I think the thing that gets lost sometimes when he's not able to throw it for completion is the plaster. We call it plaster the receivers when he's scrambling. I thought our guys did a nice job of that in the red zone in particular. But getting them to third down and a third down that we could work a little bit in our favor, I thought was really, really big.
Willie Gay back to practice. How's he looking? Willie Gay back at practice.
Yeah, I mean, he looked good yesterday. It was the first day we really had him out there. We'll slowly get him in there, keep our fingers crossed, and be hopeful there's no setbacks, and hopefully get him to the game.
How did you guys play as you had a chance to go back and look at the tape?
Yeah, the only thing, it was a little bleedy, and we don't ever want to be bend but don't break, but it felt like that. But I think the point about the red zone is huge. That offense is challenging because they get things on their terms. By that, I mean they run it when you're taking away the pass, and they throw it when you're taking away the run. And I would say this. I was totally impressed with both the quarterback and number six, the wide receiver. Not that I didn't think they were good going in, but coming out of it, I got a great deal of respect for them. And so they moved the ball a little methodically. Our tackling wasn't what it was like the week before, and I think that hurt us. But all in all, you know, you take away the one play at the end, and we had a couple of guys hurt and stumbling around, so we tried to come after them, and they ended up throwing a touchdown. 42-23 would have felt a lot better than 42-30. But the bottom line is we had more points than they did and won the game. So.
Mike Dana looks like he's taken a step, particularly in the pass rush.
Yeah.
Did you see that comment?
I tell you what, I give a credit to the coaches, Brendan and Terry, that work with them. I give a credit to Mike. When you say that I see it coming, it's hard to tell, but always anticipated that it could. Probably a good way to say it. And Mike's one of my favorite guys because it's chin to the hairline, really smart, and everything inside here as far as heart is really good.
Particularly in the pass rush part of it, what did you see from him maybe when he was coming out even?
Yeah.
He could be a productive pass rusher.
Yeah, again, I think it goes back to the work he's put in, but, you know, we all, the prototypical DN is the 6'4", 6'5", long arms, right? And that's not Mike, but I worked with Elvis Dumervil when I was at the Baltimore Ravens, and Elvis was built pretty much the same way. And sometimes those guys with the leverage underneath and the long arm rushes that Mike has and that Elvis revolutionized, in my opinion, I think Mike's been able to take things a little step further in doing some of that stuff. And the other thing, you know, we've always said this about pass rush, you know, 20% technique, 80% want. Mike always has the 80% want.
You guys rotate those guys, and there's playing time for a number of guys.
But yeah.
When Frank Clark comes back and Chris is out there, you're running into a little bit of a log jam. I mean, do you still see a significant role for Mike?
Oh, I think so.
It's all hands on deck.
Yeah, just in terms of keeping guys fresh, I think we would still try to do that. Try to keep it pretty balanced, keep in there rolling. Yeah.
Coach, a couple of you guys have mentioned some miscommunication on calls. It seemed like the Eagles were maybe a little bit more up tempo because of that. How close do you?
I couldn't tell for the mic right now. You were talking. I'm like, wait a minute, that's not got the mass.
A couple of guys have mentioned miscommunication a little bit with the calls. It seemed like the Eagles might have been a little bit more up tempo. How close are you to making it like very clean?
The one that I can remember, and we've talked to the guys about this, but you know, if you kind of get injured and you think you might have to come out, do it right away, because if you don't do it right away, there's some. Are you staying in? So there was one of those. We were making a substitution. That's one I remember vividly. Listen, anytime we prepared for it. We had a bunch of no-huddle periods, and I thought our offense, Chad was out there last week, did a great job with it. So as far as the preparation, I felt we were prepared. We didn't quite get it done the way we wanted to, and we're going to get teams doing that all the time. So.
I just had a question about about this quarterback, Josh Allen. Now you've seen there's some tape on him. Anything different than last year's AFC title game when it comes to defending him?
I mean, talent-wise, all the same. He just gets better and better. But it really feels like he is in total control of what they do. And I'm talking about at the line of scrimmage, not necessarily a call coming in and you're running it. I just think they've taken it to a next level from that standpoint.
Steve, are calls getting in from the sideline, particularly in the red zone? Are you comfortable that things are getting relayed?
Yeah.
Sunday was the second straight game you guys given up a touchdown where it looked like you guys...
Say it again.
Sunday was the second straight game. It looks like you guys gave up a touchdown when guys weren't quite ready.
The first one...
No,
I don't know. I'm thinking of one that was a two-point play that we weren't able to get our. And then I watch a couple of clips after that, and I see officials stopping and waiting on two-point plays. There's one. There's probably another. I mean, are we gonna whatever? Got to get it done better. You know, we practice it. We got a bunch of fourth downs. We take the last play of one or two or three periods a week where we go right to the line and we make a call.
Did Ben get credit in the room for the fumble recovery that he didn't get on the field?
He gets the credit from me. You know, I don't know. It doesn't officially go in, but I thought that was a great play. He was actually coming on a pressure, you know, the tackle, the guy whipped the nugget right back up, grounds on fire, and that's a relentless play that could have been huge, right?
I mean, he's in the middle of the play. I don't know if he knew whether or not he even caused the fumble.
I don't know either. They went so fast, and I know Coach Reed was looking for a replay, and it didn't get there quick enough. I mean, that's really Philadelphia operating. You know, you were hoping maybe it would get, because New York can call that one in. But it didn't happen that way, so we got to line up and play defense and stop.
But if a player, what is your guys' trust level? We kind of talked to Coach about this. I mean, if Ben would have jumped up and said, that's a fumble, how much do you trust the player to be right that he caused the fumble?
That's really the head coach's decision, not mine, so I'm not going to go there. All I know is when that was happening and I'm watching all the green shirts get ready to run another play, all I'm focused on is calling the next defense.
Right.
Like that's Coach Reed's, and I'm sure he knows exactly what he's doing. If he already addressed it, I'll just rest on his comments.
Each week we see you focus on something different. Last week we talked about the red zone defense, and then we saw improvements. What's the focus this week to kind of slow down Josh Allen and the Bills?
Yeah, I don't know if I – listen, I think it's going to be – I mean, we concentrate on everything, obviously. We got to play – I'd like to think that we could just go out there and play fast, throw a bunch of fastballs and, you know, just let loose a little bit. Because this offense, if you're thinking too much, the offensive coordinator there and the coaches there do a good job. I don't think that we'll see a lot of what they did against other teams. They create other different type of run schemes. They create different concepts. So we just got to – I think we got to be brilliant at the basics, stick to fundamentals, and play fast football. That's – I know that sounds like coach garb, but it's true.
Along those same lines, Coach, you know how to defend against Cole Beasley as well as Diggs last year. What kind of dynamic does Emmanuel Sanders add now to
that
passing?
Yeah, and he's been the guy that they've shot it down the field on. So it's going to be a challenge, you know, that we talk about all the time. Are we going to double people? Who are we going to double? Should we double, not double? Where should we lean the post player? All of that goes on. This particular team has three guys that I think you have to worry about, you know. So we've got to find a way to even that out, maybe get them in situations where we can dictate it. But we'll just see how the game goes and decide what we're going to call at certain times.
Steve, how do you feel like your blitz package has come along from week one to increasing it a little these last couple weeks?
Yeah, some of the offenses that we're playing are dictating how we can and cannot pressure. And listen, you can take shots in certain downs, but when teams are going to run the football, sometimes the pressures hurt you. So we're trying to get better first and second down defense so we can dictate what we do. But until we do that, we just got to pick our spots and hope that we hit them right. When we run a run pressure, it's a run. And when we run a pass pressure, it's a pass. But that all comes with the flow of the game, what's the score on the scoreboard. And we'll see where it goes in this particular game.
It seems like more teams are more RPO heavy against you.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they're – I don't know. You'd have to tell me whether they're heavier or not. I don't look at the other teams. I just know that I believe every one of these teams we've played has RPO elements, all four of them that we played. Most teams do nowadays, right? It might not be a team. Some do more than others. If that's the case, I'm not sure why that is, but we just got to make sure we defend them.
There was a moment on Sunday where the ball was loose in the backfield, the fumble recovery with Jones. What were the coaching points on that? Would you prefer a player just falls on the ball at that
Well, point? Listen, I had no problem with Chris trying to get it on the first one because it's the end of the half, right? And I mean, if it was the end of the game, I think you fall on it, right? It's obvious the game's over. And then he's got to make a decision on the second one, you know, whether he should just get on it or. But I don't know. You know, it's the clock's going to run out. We all would have been pretty happy if he scooped it up on the second one and scored. You know, you'd have to ask him if he thought he was going to get in or if he was going to have to lateral it. But it was a good play. It came at the right time. I thought what LJ did was really good, getting the ball knocked out. And next time, hopefully, we get that.
Coincidence or not, with the wrist injury with Chris. The last 3 weeks haven't been as productive as he would normally
yeah.
be. How important is it to just get him healthy and to get him going?
Yeah, that's what we want, all our players healthy, especially our good ones. I think Coach Reed talked about it yesterday, so I'll kind of rest on his comments. But we just keep our fingers crossed, and hopefully we can get everybody back to the way we know they can play. And that makes the whole unit get back to the way we know we can play, right? Okay? Thank you.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You just heard from offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy and defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo. Now we're going to hear from special teams coordinator Dave Tobe and linebacker Nick Bolton.
Fire away.
Dave, did you ever think you'd be a part of a game where neither team punted?
No, that was the first for me. We've had a couple games where we didn't punt,
yeah, right.
But that was the first ever. You know, I wasn't sure if it ever happened. The players were asking me, did it ever happen? I said, I don't remember it ever happening. So
three
I guess
times
four.
The Chiefs had a playoff game.
It was like that too. Is that right? Okay. It was crazy. It was different for sure.
All that time you spent in practice last week working on
all those things that we had. Oh man, you guys were going to see Tyreek too. You didn't even know it. Tyreek, he was our punt returner. No.
Save it for this week, right?
I guess you probably have to maybe get used to having games like that because of people going to fourth down a lot now.
I hope not. I hope we.
The game used to just kind of be at.
I'm okay with no punts. I'm not okay with no punt returns. You know, I mean, we want to have a lot of punt returns. Obviously, didn't happen. So, I mean, but we're not going to get used to it. We're gonna you know prepare every week like we're going to get 10 of them. So, it's not really going to change the way you know we look at it for sure.
How does Tommy handle a day like that?
He just stays loose in the net, you know, gets ready. And, you know, we've had a lot of games where it's only been one or two punts, so this was a little different. But he gets warmed up, and he hits a lot of balls in between plays. He's on the field, and he kicks in the net, so he stays ready. I didn't have to talk to him or anything like that. I don't believe.
When you watched the film of, I believe it was Byron's fumble, anything you noticed there in terms of ball security, or was it just a good play on the Eagles?
It was a good play, but he has to, you know, when he gets in a crowd, he's got to secure that thing a little bit better. It was a little loose. You know, the hit came on the side that he had the ball, and he's got to get that other hand on top of it.
And how impactful was Jared McKinnon?
That was huge. I mean, he ended up being our player of the game because he had made a tackle earlier on kickoff, and that big play, that's a huge play, you know, when the ball's out and we come, you know, we're able to get back on top of it and, you know, basically save our butts on that play. That was a big play for him. He was our player of the game last week.
I don't think we ask you this every week about who your special teams player of the game is. Was that the first time he?
That was the first time he got it. Yeah. Yep. You know, every week we, you know, we keep a production points of for our players, every player on special teams weekly, and then we give an award out. You know, we talk about it, and it's important to the guys. I mean, competition, these guys thrive on competition, so we try to create those situations every time we can.
You guys have to cover a lot of kickoffs. You score a lot of points. When do you make the choice on when you – it seems like he can kick it out of the end zone all the time.
He can, yeah.
When do you make that choice? So you kind of lull the opponent into sleep, thinking maybe they're not going to get one? How do you go about making that choice?
There's a lot of factors that go into it. Obviously, you know, what kind of return team are you facing? What kind of returner are you facing? Do you want to take the risk of giving up a possible, you know, ball out past the 25? You know, if you feel like you can get them inside the 20 and you can create a big play for your defense, you go ahead and try to kick a high kick down to the goal line, let them make a choice, you know, whether to come out or not. Our guy is fortunate because he can really kick the ball high, and they have to make a decision. Sometimes it's four deep and it's a, you know, a 4-3 hang time. The coverage is down on them. You know, if they want to come out with that, then we have a real good shot at getting them inside the 20. So that's what we're trying to do in those kicks. But he can kick it back. He can kick a touchback anytime we want. Which is great.
What sort of reputation do the Bills have as a special teams?
Very good. I mean, they had their whole core back. The only thing they've done, a couple guys changed their jersey numbers. But other than that, it's the same guys. There's eight core special teams players that play all four phases. And they're experienced guys. There's only one rookie that plays, and it's only on one phase, on punt return. Other than that, it's the same guys that came back from last year on the playoff team. So we got our hands full.
Nick Bolton hasn't played really much special teams at all this year. With him just having that bigger role on defense, has the ship kind of sailed on him?
No, not at all. You know, he comes to every meeting still. You know, we're trying to get him established. We tried to lighten his load, actually, you know, because, you know, he's getting a lot of reps on defense, but not getting the full – he's not getting all the reps. So he's still a viable guy for me on special teams that I could use down the road. So we're keeping him ready to go in there. We're just trying to ease him into it. You know, it's the workload, really. It's the defense and special teams. You know, if I can cut him back on special teams, we try to do that right now. You know, but down the road, he'll be more like maybe like a Ben, like Ben plays. You know, he plays about the same amount of reps, but he also plays special teams.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
You. Your learning curve has been getting yourself situated in defense right now.
So it's slowly coming along. I feel like it's pretty good from where I'm at right now. Just trying to steadily build on it every single day, just trying to get a little bit better, and ultimately trying to help us win.
So how comfortable are you right now?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm about an 8 right now. Still got some plays out there if I can make, just slowly going forward, just trying to progress and get mentally to that point.
There's been some talk this week about making sure the defense and the challenge of getting the defense set pre-snap. Just how close do you feel like you guys are to being in sync in that regard?
Yeah, I feel like we're in sync. Everybody comes in every single day and gives their best effort. We're out there communication-wise. And so just cleaning stuff up as we go out throughout the week and getting to the point where we're comfortable on Sundays is kind of what we're getting to right now.
How's it been compared to what you expected when you first came into the NFL this year?
It's been kind of ups and downs, kind of. Just trying to learn everything. Everything is not as easy as it is in college or before then. So every week, learning something new every single day. Credit to the old guys, Hitch, and all those guys pushing me to push myself mentally to get to where they are. They've been here for a while, kind of seen a lot. So I'm just trying to get to that point where I'm just as comfortable as they are.
Coach Spags just complimented Buffalo on just how fast they are. What have you seen in that regard in your tape study this week?
Oh, yeah, they're a talented group up and down on the offensive roster. Great receivers, great quarterback. Running backs also playing really well. So it's up to us to go out there and compete. Step forward to the task we have at hand.
With the relationship and the friendship that you kind of developed with Willie, you know, early on, what do you think he's going to be able to bring to this defense once he gets back on the field?
Speed, violence, powerful. That guy, I watched him while I was in college too, playing in the same conference. So I know kind of what he brings to the table. And then being with him, learning from him, watching him go out there and compete and perform is something that you just get in awe just to watch. And so I'm glad to see what he brings back to us. So again, fast, powerful, violent. Everything you need for a linebacker position, he can do it. Go ahead. Yeah, so I'm just excited for him to be back.
No, I was going to say, how excited are you just for the opportunity to play off of each other? Because it seemed like you kind of had a really good rapport on the field.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. Looking forward to seeing what we have this week. We got Willie back out there in practice, and so he's getting in, getting acclimated again. So I'm just ready for him to get back on the field with us. I go out there and have fun.
Can you explain the differences of being a linebacker in pass coverage in college and how different it is in the NFL, whether it's based on formation, obviously the higher level in talent, and just what the quarterback may try to do with manipulating you with the eyes?
Yeah, so quarterbacks at the NFL are, everybody knows, are really good. They can manipulate people's eyes. They can see a lot of things pre-snap, so based off what we give them and looks and stuff like that. So that's kind of been a big jumping curve in that department. But the passing game, that's a lot more broad here, especially being the SEC, more run-oriented. And then quarterbacks are good, but they're not as good as they are here. So just kind of learning that type of stuff. Hashes are strengthened, so basically the ball's been at the middle of the field every single snap. And so it's not just like you're playing on the short side of the field. Both sides are pretty much equal, so you have to respect it like that.
Coach Tobe mentioned that, you know, you're still taking part in special teams meetings, mm-hmm. even though you haven't been playing a lot of special teams. Mm-hmm. But the goal is to eventually have you being able to go both ways there. Mm-hmm. Has just focusing on defense a little bit more helped you think a little bit early on in the season?
Yeah, I feel like it cut me out a little bit in terms of just understanding the scheme. I only have one thing to focus on. But again, I'm here to help us win. So that goes by playing special teams and defense. I'm happy to do that.
Any thoughts on the University of Missouri Tigers? Been a rough couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm just trying to hopefully get back into the win column. We got to stop the run. So if we can do that, I feel like we got a good enough offense, a great coaching staff. They help them go, help those guys win. So I'm going to keep rooting on for them from afar, and I wish them well.
I talked to some of the guys over there at Columbia. They said that they talked to you and stuff, and that they really enjoyed it. It's like you're their reality show. Uh-huh.
Yeah, all those guys down there, like I said, constant communication with everybody that I came in there with. Those guys I came in with are still playing pretty good football for them down there. So I'm flattered for them to say that, but those are my guys, my brothers, and so I'm excited for them to get here.
Thanks, everybody.
All right, thank you.